just wanted to say two things to begin with, and then I'll willingly take questions. The first is just to put on record massive appreciation for the work that the Anglican Church in Aotearoa, New Zealand, Polynesia has done, making us feel at home in the last 2 weeks, and with Archbishop David here to say a public word of appreciation for the tremendous generosity we've received. Second, to say that we've now completed the business of the Anglican Consultative Council, and I think we've had a really quite remarkably constructive couple of weeks together. And the particular focus that we've had on a number of big-ticket issues that are not just housekeeping for the church, but of wider relevance, that's been a significant part of the meeting. So the session we had on how the church reacts to gender-based violence, how the church reacts to the environmental crisis, and how the church manages its witness in a religiously pluralist society, those three things, on all of which we've had public sessions as well as our internal sessions, those have been key for our work. So I'm very grateful that we've got to this point, that we've stuck together, we've found lots to do together and lots to say to each other. So over to you.
I'll pass and let some of the local folks have their questions first. Go ahead.
Archbishop, in this part of the world, you're particularly known for officiating at royal weddings.
You don't say.
And I really just wondered if you could just explain what it is like to be involved in something that has such a massive global audience with such an intrinsic part of British hierarchy and society.
Well, I think the first thing I want to say is what I said at the time last year. The Duke and Duchess are a young couple getting ready for marriage, and the marriage preparation and discussions were pretty much what I do with any young couple. And because they're a young couple fairly typical of their generation, that was in its way challenging, interesting, and very moving. And I can only really repeat what I said to them at the time. Even if you're aware as you walk up the aisle there are 5 billion people or whatever watching, when you get to the sanctuary, it won't feel like that. You'll be looking at each other, you'll be looking at your families, and unfortunately you'll be looking at me, but you know, that's what it's going to be about. And that's the first thing. The second thing, I suppose, is that it was a really extraordinary platform for talking nationally and internationally about marriage, about how the church sees marriage, about the significance of this commitment. And I think we tried to make most of that.
I'll pass the floor.
Gosh. Okay, thank you. So, I was wondering if you'd expand a little bit on the progress that ACC made over these last couple of weeks, particularly on those three areas. Were there some particular decisions made or some new lines of work laid out in those areas?
Let's start with the Christian witness in the plural world. The document that we endorsed this morning on that is a set of protocols for Christian witness. That is, how do we engage in Christian witness in a plural world? Well, we don't manipulate, we don't bully, we don't undermine. We try to engage seriously in dialogue. And it would have been good to have a bit more time to anchor that in specific situations. We did a bit of that last night in our open meeting. But, you know, everybody knows the difficulties in some situations, in Nigeria, in Sri Lanka, where the church is up against very violent opposition sometimes. But even so, I think we wanted to affirm those principles. On the environmental question and the issue of gender-based violence, we took the broad policy papers that we were given into regional groups. Each regional group identified the priorities it was taking back to its own country and what it was going to do. So, for example, there was a lot of talk about how we used our educational institutions to challenge stereotypes of masculinity that had to do with dominance and violence and bullying and so forth. So an emphasis there on how we use the networks we've got to pursue that agenda. The environmental question, again, boiled down to a lot of regional work, and that will look very different, I think, in the Pacific and the UK and Latin America, say. But we were expected to produce a set of local priorities, local initiatives we wanted to follow through. So the pattern of it was if you like, a policy picture for the communion, and then some quite intensive work on where it's going to be practical in regions and in nations.
And say, for example, on the gender one, that would, by taking it back into regional ones, you'd have perhaps quite a different focus on the work there in, say, North America or Europe versus Africa.
We might have a different focus, a different set of priorities, but the underlying issues are exactly the same. And we had a very moving presentation on issues of domestic violence here in New Zealand from a group who came to talk about what they were doing and the methods they were adopting. And when we talk about gender-based violence, we are very concerned not to say this is just a problem in certain kinds of societies. It appears in acute form in societies riddled with conflict of other kinds. But that doesn't mean that it's absent from our own. So an attempt to keep the whole Anglican world in the picture there.
Mm-hmm. Move on.
Hi. Now, I just wanted to ask, there's been some talk that there's going to be the announcement of who would be the next Archbishop. Are you preparing to make any announcement around that?
Well, yes, as soon as I hear the news, I shall make an announcement. And it's not for me to make an announcement, because it has to come from 10 Downing Street. And until I have official confirmation from there, I shall wait.
Next question.
Earlier in the year, there was a discussion within the New Zealand Anglican Church and the view on same-sex marriage. I'm just wondering if that was a topic of discussion throughout the last 2 weeks.
It hasn't been. It's come up in conversation around tables from time to time, but it's not been a major focus because, of course, for the vast majority of provinces in the communion, it's not, or not yet, an issue. We, of course, in England are in the middle of quite a complicated discussion about it, and there's been a bit of comparing notes with people in New Zealand about the question. We haven't regarded that as a priority for us.
Next question.
Archbishop, since Sunday and you're leaving Christchurch, have you had any further reflections about what you saw and witnessed?
I had an immensely inspiring couple of days in Christchurch, I have to say. It was a gift, an absolute gift. And the three things, I suppose, that stick in my mind. One is the rock concert for the Student Volunteer Army on Saturday night, because, believe it or not, I don't go to a whole lot of rock concerts. But the fact that this was happening and this is what it was celebrating, I just felt very moved by that and very moved to be invited to play a full part in it, a non-singing part in it. Then visiting the outreach of the local parishes on the Sunday morning in some of the worst affected areas in Christchurch, to see what the church is doing at grassroots, checking on people in the neighbourhood to see what their needs are, what their vulnerabilities are, connecting them where appropriate to relief and counselling agencies, helping them to take initiatives, for example, a veggie cooperative organised from the church in Christchurch, which helped people take control again of their lives, attending to their nutrition and sort of thing. This is absolutely fundamental church stuff. This is what the church is there for. And then in the afternoon, a wonderful meeting with a large number of young adults from the diocese who wanted to ask questions about all kinds of things. And it was clear that the church was reaching out to bright, questioning young adults in a very creative way. So I came away feeling absolutely overflowing with positive impressions of what was going on there, in spite of the real, rather staggering impact of a city centre and still looking totally desolate. But also the great opportunity of rethinking what a city is all about. I talked a lot to the mayor, Bob Parker, the sense, well, this gives us a chance to think what we want in a city and to turn around a real disaster and tragedy and say, well, this is an opportunity to think what we really want to see. That's an act of faith.
We have time for two more questions, I think. Mary Frances?
Your Grace, I'd like to turn to Archbishop Moxon, if that's okay. In the US-based Episcopal Church, we have many issues surrounding the full inclusion of indigenous people in the life of the church. And I'm wondering if you might say something, I know this is a big topic, but if you might say something about this province's work in terms of the Three Tikanga as a model that might be useful elsewhere in the community?
It's certainly been a very creative and a very enriching experience for us here. It came from a particular history, though, from the Treaty of Waitangi in 1840, where two cultures agreed to found a nation based on partnership, covenant and hope. And out of that came a third party, the Pasifika Nations, so the three strands woven together, three in one, one in three. We found it liberating, we found it enriching, we found it something we wouldn't go back on, I don't think. It's an ongoing adventure, it's an exploration, it changes all the time, but its richness is something we would never go back on now. And it's true to our demography, our context, our culture. We would recommend taking culture, ethnicity, very seriously indeed, to the point of missional, pastoral, evangelical strategies that take that seriously.
Thank you.
You've talked about, so far today, we've talked about environmental change, domestic violence, the role of masculinity. These aren't traditional, stereotypically traditional issues that people would associate with church discussion. What sort of, with these issues in mind, what does your successor need to bring to the job? What sort of qualities do they need to have to talk about these very current issues?
That's a good question. I think if I could just preface what I say by underlying the fact that I and all of us here believe that whether or not these are stereotypical questions, they are actually questions about what kind of humanity we're seeking to promote and serve, which is a deeply Christian question. More and more, I think, the issues that people are probing us on these days are, well, you know, how do you help us be really human as a church? And we believe, as a church, we have unparalleled resources for enriching people's humanity in that way. So what does my successor need to bring? I think it was put very well by a theologian of the last century who said, you have to preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. You have to be cross-referencing all the time and saying, how does the vision of humanity and community that's put before us in the Bible map onto these issues of poverty, privation, violence, conflict? And you have to use what you read in the newspaper to prompt and direct the questions you put to the Bible. Where is this going to help me? So I think somebody who likes reading the Bible and likes reading newspapers would be a good start.
Who was that, actually?
Karl Barth.
Sorry?
Karl Barth, B-A-R-T-H. Greatest theologian of the 20th century. Don't get me started, we'll be here for 2 hours.
Okay, well, we need to move on, but thank you very much indeed.